This is a Gorilla Podcast Network production.
Ladies and gentlemen,
it's the Backyard Micro Show.
Backyard Micro Show. Micro Show.
We speak that. That real.
Peace, ladies and gentlemen. Peace. Welcome back to the Backyard Mecca Show, backyardmeccashow.com on the all-new Gorilla Podcast Network. We are back this week with another one for you. We got another great one. Today I got two special guests in the house. I have, first of all, My little man's in the house. He's my special co-host. What's up, Rick?
What's up, Dad? How you doing?
Good. What's going on with you, bro?
Man, you know, hanging outside.
How's everything with you, son? How was your weekend?
Good. Very good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What did it consist of, man?
Nothing.
Nothing at all?
Nope.
No PlayStation?
Nah, I don't play PlayStation that much.
No YouTube?
Nah, I got banned.
Oh yeah, he got banned for fucking kid. He got banned. I don't know. You know how they be wilding out, man. Friends. I don't know what he got banned for. They sent me an email. He got banned for talking reckless in one of those chat rooms. But they were all talking reckless, so they all got banned for like a week. All his whole crew. But yeah, man, you gotta chill with that, bro. But yeah, you know, we're here. You get a free day tomorrow. No school. You jammed your finger today playing football. And it actually looks sprained. That shit is, if y'all could see it, man, it's purple. And his pinky looks like his thumb. He was playing football today, and I got the phone call, yo, Dad, my finger. So I know it's definitely sprained. He didn't break it because he would be in excruciating pain, but it's definitely sprained. We got to go to his doctor tomorrow. But, yeah, man, as for me, same old shit, man. You know, pushing this shit, the Backyard Mecca Show. Pushing the Gorilla Podcast Network, the shows, editing the shows, and all that good stuff. Hopefully, you guys are enjoying that. I got some good news, too, man. We got a new show starting very, very soon. I don't even want to shout out the name, but I definitely want to let people know that we are moving along. We are rocking. They should be starting within the next 2 weeks. If they do not start by the end of the year, they will be starting first thing for January, which is only a few weeks away. So, yeah, man, keeping it moving. Other than that, man, I want to introduce my special guest. We have the returning brother. Some of you may remember him from the beginning shows. He was here with us for, I believe, the first 3 or 4 shows. He was actually one of my co-hosts. Mr. Calamari Dave, welcome back to the Backyard Mecca Show. What's up, bro?
What's up, thanks, Calamari? Man. Thanks a lot, man. I'm happy to be back, enjoying everything, you know?
Yes, sir, man. Yeah, welcome back, man. Welcome back. I remember, you know, you were here with us for a few shows, and we were rocking out, meeting people, and talking our shit and what we do. And I know it kind of wasn't for you at that time, so, you know, you laid back and did your thing. But, you know, like I told you, you would always come back, be a guest host here and there. And we're going to rock out. Now we're here today, man. We're actually here today with a serious topic that, you know, personal to you. And I think it's very important for the people to know and for people to hear your story. So yes. I want to talk about that. So basically, let's just jump into it, man. It's going to be more of a health related topic of a show. So Dave, you have lived with diabetes for a very long time, right?
Since I was 7 years old, yes.
Wow, since you were 7 years old. So that is that when you found out?
Yes. We was in Hoboken, New Jersey, and my mom realized that I wasn't doing too well, and I didn't look too good in the face. So the next day when we came back to Bridgeport, I was diagnosed with juvenile diabetes by the age of 7, and
wow.
If they caught it on time, they would have caught it a day late, it could have cost me my life.
Wow, that's crazy, man. So young, man. You know what I mean?
It's generational. It's generational. Okay. My mom is one of 14 kids, so she is part of a big family that most of us have it, and then my dad's side of the family is a little bit of us that are, we that are have it. You know, my dad just got it. God bless him. But you know, he has been taking care of himself, doing it better than what I did at a young age. You know.
All right, man. So then, damn, that's real young. Actually, you know, there's a lot of people that get it when they're older, and you know, nowadays I do hear a lot of people getting it that are younger, kind of like your story. So let's start there, man, because I think this is important, because you know, health in the community, in the hood especially, is not talked about too much. You know, like, you know, either there's no insurance or we just don't do doctors. It's just a thing. You know what I'm saying? That needs to be. I think that cycle needs to be broken. So I think something like this is very important for us to hear and talk about. So, all right. So you said you were 7 years old?
I was 7.
Okay. Wow, that's young. Now, do you remember? Do you remember that time when that changed? Because obviously, it's a drastic change for you know, healthy stuff. I'm assuming what you eat, what you drink, all that. So since you said you do remember that, what stood out to you the most around that time, bro? When this happened to you?
I just, you know, I remember being a almost 200-pound kid. And
wow, at 7?
Around that age, I was getting there. Wow. I was on my way getting there. By the age of 12, I was already 200.
That's heavy for that
200.
Age, bro. Real
yeah,
heavy.
It is. It
real
is.
Real heavy. Wow.
So, for me, it would have been more easier if I was born with it, because I would have had more discipline. But being raised in a household of Spanish people eating Spanish food, and you getting so used to eating all this from one day to the next, saying you can't have this, it was a heartbreak. For anybody, it's a heartbreak. You know, it was like food is my favorite. You know, one of the best things, you know, that you know we like to do is eat.
Can't imagine it.
We all gotta eat. You know, on a side note, you know, my profession, I want to be a chef, so I want to study culinary arts. So it all mixes with it, and I feel like diabetes gave me that desire and passion, because I had to learn about what I have to eat, you know, read the nutrient facts, and and try and discipline myself.
How did you feel to get diabetes at that young age?
I was scared, because not because of needles or anything. I was actually a chill kid, getting my blood work drawn. I didn't fuss, you know, it didn't really matter to me. But it was scary, because you go from thinking everything is okay to then you gotta stop doing this, or why, or you could die. It's scary. You're 7 years old talking about you could die, like, you know.
Real quick, man, and not to cut you off, because I want you to keep going into your story, but for the people that don't know actually what diabetes is, can you kind of explain to our interweblians listening, and our, you know, supporters, our new supporters out there, like, what is diabetes exactly?
Right. There's two types of diabetes. Juvenile diabetes means that you need just insulin.
Okay.
Type 2 diabetes is more controllable and is handled by a pill. And within the human body, your pancreas is what withholds the insulin, the you know, human insulin.
Mm-hmm.
Our insulin is obviously, you know, genetically made, and It's just more genetically than people be like, oh, if you eat too much sugar, I'm too fat, I'm gonna get diabetes. It actually has very low percentage of that. It's more about genetics. And it just has to do with you not having the proper balance of your blood sugar. So if you take out your blood sugar right now, the ratio of blood sugar is from 80 to 180. Anything lower than that or anything higher than that, those boluses, they're called boluses,
okay,
it could trigger a lot of scary things that basically I really went through in life, which one of them is, you know, I had to go under. They had to revive me 3 times in my lifetime.
Wow.
And then you already know about the coma over a year ago.
You witnessed that
with me. It opened up my eyes. It's been a scary journey, but I can honestly say that 98% was my fault. You know, like I said, if I was born with it, I think I would have been more disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So, you said it's mostly genetic, but it does. There are cases where people that it's not in their genetics, they could develop it too, right?
They can, it can be developed by, having diabetes automatically weakens your immune system. So what happens with that is you don't heal. You don't, like, let's say somebody just has, there's people who need something to eat, but they don't have diabetes. They just have a low blood sugar count. It's totally something different. So what they got to do is just eat, you know? Low blood sugar or high blood sugar is very scary. Very scary. Either way it goes, I don't know which one is worse. But the high blood sugar, with the high blood sugar, what happens with that is it ruins your body when you don't take care of yourself. With the low blood sugar, you just get risk of seizures and you have to go through, you know, you could pass out. It's scary. Either way it goes, it's scary.
Yeah, man, because I have a dear friend of mine, man. Shout out to Josh. She's actually has diabetes. And, you know, I remember at times she would have to, you know, take her insulin when, you know, she drank something sugary or something like that. But she I don't want to get too much into her story, but I'm just going to say she, you know how some people take the needle, kind of like yourself, you do the shot.
Yeah.
She had like a little, I don't know what it was. It was like some kind of machine that she would.
Oh, the pump. It's called an insulin pump. It's for more. I had one.
Okay.
I had one at a young age. It didn't work for long, because shortly after that, I was, you know, I went from being a homebound child to then, you know, little by little going into the streets. So I felt like it was more unsafe for me. I didn't feel comfortable with something, because it's something that's attached to you and it's in you, inside you, you know, so.
You gotta be careful, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
How do you feel, like, your friends knowing that you have diabetes in your families as well, like, knowing that? Well,
of course, you know, everybody likes to, you know, discipline you. It's because they care. You know, some people try to act like they know better, too, and they don't really know anything. But since I'm part of a big family, you have a lot of people. Oh, stop drinking soda.
I'm over here drinking a fucking Red Bull while we talk about this shit. It's crazy.
Yeah. I've come a long way.
Yeah.
Soda was the number one. People who know me was the number one.
I remember when I first met you, bro. You would kill them shits like two at a time, bro.
2 liters, and it wasn't like cans. It was
in like a minute, Rick. He would down them like it was a fucking shot.
I mean, I down waters, but, you know.
The thing was, is this, once I was in the streets, you know, it was like my parents couldn't discipline me. So I did whatever I want. So in the beginning, it would work. Sometimes they gave me a leeway. But having diabetes doesn't mean you can't live a normal life.
Okay.
It's all about discipline. And I keep talking about that because I have families that we talk about this from both sides of my family. And it's something hard to talk about. It gets emotional at times.
Mm-hmm.
But I cannot, like I continue to say, I put myself through what I'm going through now. The coma and stomach ulcer and gastroparesis.
Yeah.
It's because of the lack of me not taking care of myself. But the blessing in it is because they told me my organs were supposed to be by this age. They gave me to the age of 18 to live, by the way, first of all, when all those things were happening to me.
Yeah, to live?
To live.
They and said, you're how old now?
I'm about to be 30. I'm 17.
Wow. That's a blessing, man.
It is. And it's still scary because I got to watch what I do. If I try to drink soda, it doesn't work. Smoke a cigarette, doesn't work. The reason why I look more healthier, it's not all because of a good reason, but it's more because I have no choice now but to discipline myself. And, you know, there's people that wait even more, you know? Yeah. I don't think I have to wait anymore to understand that there's a reason for me on this earth, you know? And I want to fulfill that reason. You know, here we are today.
Absolutely. You know? I was about to say this right here is... It's something big, man, because, you know, you're talking about it, you're sharing your story, you could inspire somebody else, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You could be inspiring somebody right now that has had a difficult time trying to stop drinking soda or eating bullshit, you know what I mean? And that's why this is important. That's why I wanted to do this show. Because, like I said, in our community sometimes, man, we don't take health as serious as we should, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I want to move on to... So how has it... How has it affected your life from when you were 7 to now? Like, what are some of the struggles, man? Because there's struggles, you know, we got to talk about the good and the bad. So, yeah. We'll talk about it all. What are some of the struggles that you feel
you've endured because of the diabetes?
I was about to ask that.
Well, the first struggle for me was having to witness the first time me going to the hospital because I wasn't taking care of myself, and my mom would explain to me the number of phone calls she got at that time, and mm-hmm. cousins, aunts, uncles, and I put my family through a lot, and that's what made me want to shape up, because yeah, you gotta love yourself first before you can love another, but you have to really take this seriously. And I had to care for myself in order to care for others, and I was putting my family through a lot. One of the main things was when I went, you know, under, when they revived me the first time, it was like, for me, you know, it was like, all right, this ain't nothing. I knew what was mm-hmm. going on. All right, I'm back, whatever. Second time, same feeling. The third time, I actually got mad at the doctor because I got tired of, it brought me to a depression because mm-hmm. I felt like I couldn't get my way, even though I was in the streets kind of starting to get my way. But even my friends would be like, yo, you can't be drinking soda, you can't be doing this. And I didn't feel alive, you know. Yeah. I didn't feel like I didn't feel myself. But then knowing the tears that I brought to people, it was like, I gotta do something. It took a while, it's still taking time, but it's like I said, it's manageable. I mean, I waited a little too long, but it humbled me. I can say that it really did.
I mean, well, you know, a start is somewhere, bro. You kind of control it a little more now, you know, probably with because you're on it. You know, I see how you're on it. I see your diet definitely has changed up, and that's good, bro. That's a step in the right direction. That's a step in towards progress. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
So I wanted to ask you earlier, but you were going on, and I didn't want to interrupt you because it was very important what you were talking about at the moment. But so what is it that the insulin does exactly that brings your blood back down?
I'm glad you asked me that question, because it brought me back to also, I didn't take my blood sugar. That's something that's important.
Mm.
So you can know, like I said, it's called your bolus. Excuse me. So once you take your blood sugar, there's a scale. It's called a sliding scale of what you're going to put depending on your blood sugar.
Okay.
Insulin lowers your blood sugar.
Okay.
So high blood sugars, the higher the blood sugar, the more insulin, the more the more dosage. The lower the blood sugar, I mean, we need to eat something sugary, you know, to help me, you know, boost it up. Of course, I've had more highs than lows, but I also would like to bring up that there's two types of insulin. There's fast acting insulin,
mm-hmm.
and there's a slow acting insulin.
Okay.
So before I used to be able to mix them, the fast acting and the slow acting. Now I take my ratio of 4 shots a day or more, depending about how I, you know, strictly keep a diet. If not, and then at nighttime I put my long lasting insulin, which keeps me all right through the day.
Okay. Now, so does it thin your blood? What, like, does it make it thicker? Because, like, I'm going to be honest, like, I didn't know that much about diabetes until my friend, you know, Joss, yeah. and I kind of learned a little bit then. But I still, you know, obviously I had to get the whole gist of everything. But so that's why I'm learning as well this show, you know what I'm saying? More than I knew.
I started learning about diabetes because of you, because you told us stories about your diabetes and stuff.
Yeah, that freaks people out when they see me pull out the needle. I like to joke around with it too, you know. Like, I'd be like, yo, this is.
And I'm so used to it with you, bro.
But like I said before, I would have not even cared.
Yeah.
But I keep insulin at your crib, family's crib, case things happen, because my mind sometimes falls off lately. But
so does it? Is it? It thins it?
I that's what I was gonna say. I don't know about that.
Okay.
But I know that when I have a high blood sugar and I'm in the hospital, they gotta give me needles from staying still to thin my blood, because you know when you're in bed rest for too long and you haven't walked or anything, they need to
warm you up. Yeah. Get that, get the blood flowing. How they say? Yeah.
A lot. I know the most thing I lack when I go through it's called ketone acidosis. That's what happens when you have a high blood sugar and you go through a condition where not even insulin can help you. You have to be on fluids. And the main thing I lack, or diabetic lacks, is potassium. So they always want you to like drink potassium. If not, they put it through your veins, and that shit stings.
Yeah.
When they put it through your veins, and then I'll be like, can I just get a banana? But yeah, I can't, because that raises your blood sugar.
Yeah, because it's sweet.
You know?
It's a catch 22.
So I gotta either drink that nasty. Actually, the last time I had to do that, they actually found resources to make it taste better, you know? But it's actually something, like I said, yo, you can handle it. It's just about discipline.
Yeah, I mean, it's discipline, but it's like you just said, the banana for it, but then you gotta be like, shit, I gotta weigh it out. That's that becomes part of the struggle, you know what I mean? Like,
it does, and that's why I would like to bring in about nutrition facts and stuff. People don't know how to read labels. Could be like, oh, this shit got 2 grams of sugar, but you gotta read the serving size. Yeah. So if it says one bag of potato chips, 1 gram of sugar, and the serving size says one bag, then yeah, one bag of potato chips have 1 gram. Mm-hmm. But if they say serving size says this many ounces, so that means like maybe, all right, 15 chips is 2 grams of sugar. So a whole bag would be more than 2 grams of sugar because you're only having a percentage. So people don't like to do that work. I never liked to do that work. Like you like to educate yourself on things. And that was something in my life that was key to be educated on. I was playing too much with my life and hurting a lot of people and hurting my body. You know, I'm blessed to still have my organs and still be able to walk and see. You know, it messes me up. Mm-hmm. It messes you up from the bottom up, to be honest. So it started out with neuropathy in my legs, losing the feeling and sensation in my legs, to now recently going a little blind.
Okay. Yeah, that's I wanted to kind of get into that. So what are some of the you know, besides obviously death, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. What are some of the effects that could happen to you? So you just mentioned your leg and stuff and your eyes. Can you break that down a little more?
It started out with the losing sensation in my legs, very small, but obviously from that, you know, taking care of myself, it got bigger where I had to take medicine for it.
Mm-hmm.
I took the medicine for a while, then I stopped for a while, everything was straight. But then in the last recent 2 years, I had to start taking it again because now it doesn't go away. I get shocks and like it's like these spikes or burns that happen. Sometimes I get them out of nowhere and you won't even know. But sometimes it's like it comes and I'm like, you know, like out of nowhere. That's why when you see me do that, sometimes it's because of that.
Yeah.
As far as the feet, after that it messed up the opportunity to have kids. I stopped producing sperm at the age of 18.
It lowers your count.
Yeah, well, no, I don't. Not
it
at
wipes
all.
It out completely.
Completely.
Wow. Okay, I didn't know that.
That doesn't happen to everybody.
Okay.
But I really remember, like I said, immune system. Having a weak immune system and then just tacking it. It's like taking a bruise and just you keep hitting it.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why, like I said, you know, my organs. But I feel like I talked to my doctor. We have my family. We have a private doctor, same doctor for years. And I do eat healthy still. I do drink water. Even when I didn't take care of myself, I love vegetables. So that's why we come to the conclusion that's probably why I'm still so healthy, because you are what you eat.
Yeah.
And I could eat a salad for weeks, just for salad, you know. But we do love that meat.
Yeah.
and that meat and also I would like to put out there that it's not just sugar, it's carbs and starch. Yeah. And there's I call it the three sugar rule. Sugar dissolves right away. Total carbohydrates can take up to a day and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And then starch can take up to 3 days. So I can not eat something the whole day and then my sugar spikes up and I'm like, and then I'll be like, oh, I had pasta or pizza 3 days ago. You get what I'm saying? So you got to watch out for that, especially because...
Is it how your body breaks it down?
It's how even the normal human body breaks it down. But what I'm saying is the way it affects a diabetic. You know what I'm saying? So
what I'm asking is how you said you ate pasta a few days ago, but you felt it today. Is it because your body just broke it down, you know, the pasta?
Yes. So if you think about it, sugar is if you look at sugar, it's this little crystal that dissolves right away. Carbohydrates can't be seen, but it's something that turns into sugar. Starch is more, you know, certain foods. So you don't see the starch, but you know what has starch in it. So like I said, you know, especially now with my gastroparesis diagnosis, I can't digest food right away. And it sits in my stomach for too long, and then that's a problem. So people be like, oh, you look good with the extra weight, but it's not really a good thing because the toxins that my body needs to release ain't being released. So I go through cramps, I go through pains, and it's like I did this to myself once again, you know. I gotta, you know.
So there's no getting rid of it, huh? Is there a way to get rid of it, or is there just a way to control it better or calm it?
There's definitely a way to control it better. Like with what I did, I've had people go through what I go through at this late stage, like with the coma last year. I had a roommate that was going through the same thing, and he didn't discipline himself. He just still drank heavy liquor, which I also stopped doing. You know, Hennessy was my thing. I can't. Smoking cigarettes, eating spicy foods, all the stuff that I used to love, you know. And once again, it's not a bad thing, because it made me, like I said, it humbled myself, and I actually feel better in a way because the way that I continue to eat.
Because I remember back then, bro, with the sodas and shit and the spicy foods. I was one of the, I don't know if you remember, I was one of the ones to tell you, like, yo, you got to chill a little bit, bro.
Everybody.
And you just used to rock on, you know, we could only do so much. But it's a big difference now to, you know, to see how you're really on it. Like,
definitely.
I'm proud of you, you know what I'm saying, to how you motivated yourself to actually get that change. Thank you, I appreciate that. All right, so you told us about the sensation, a little bit of your organs and your vision. What else? What other, not necessarily something you've gone through, but what else can it affect in the body?
Besides any of that, those are the main things, because the organs are the most delicate when it comes to a weak immune system. So let's say somebody's just born with a weak immune system. They still have to have proper dieting, because it depends what organ is stronger than the other. Other than that, you know, like, scars don't heal right. I get spotted, you know, like, I don't know if you can see in the camera, but that's a healing scar right there.
Okay.
And me picking at it doesn't do anything better, but you know, it affects your body where you'd be like, I had somebody told me, then, you know, I was a diabetic because my wrists are so skinny still, and you know, I have a bigger arm, and I'm like, I didn't get that. And I looked into it, and it was so true. I never heard that in my life. I heard that like maybe 6 months ago, and I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, are you diabetic? And I'm like, yeah, well, how'd you know that? She said, I thought it was funny, but it was something that was interesting to learn, you know. And I'm like, I don't know why. I don't know the medical why that happens, but you can live, like I said, you can live a long life. People who are born with it don't start going through what I'm going through until they get old, because they take care of it. Depending on how weak your immune system is, also, or how you diet your whole life, people don't think that matters, and that matters. The reason why I'm going through what I'm going through today was because I didn't take care of myself in the past.
You know, the greatest medicine we have is the food we put in our bodies, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely. I can't eat pork. I can't eat greasy foods. Just this week alone, I was taking care of my dad for this last week. My mom went to New Jersey to take care of one of her six sisters. And I think that's why I had that little episode in your house, because the first day we ate leftover, my brother did turkey salad from Thanksgiving, so he put bacon strips in it. Took that down. Then the second day had some steak, which steak and rice with my ulcer is not recommended. Then the day after that, some fried chicken. Then the day after that, he decided my dad do a pig roast. Pernil is what we say. So I'm like, I don't rock with pernil. Pernil for me is like, which is a pig roast in Spanish, you know, is seasonal, and I don't eat too much of it, you know. But then I ate that, and then steak again. So when I went to your house that Friday, I woke up the next day and I went through it. It finally came, you know, and, you know, like I said, discipline, man. Of course, you know, we're going to go through is the holidays, but at the same time, you know, nice salad would do.
Yo, I cooked you a whole feast on Friday, bro. You didn't eat none of it.
Yeah, that's how you know something was wrong with me. Cause I
cooked you eggs. I cooked you some of that.
Yeah, know, and to Webley's, Dave slept over the other night, and Ricky had cooked him a nice little breakfast, but he couldn't eat because his withdrawals, he was feeling it, so.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, I would like to add, you know, off topic, kind of, you know, we've always kept in touch. You know, the show wasn't what brought us together. You know, we're family.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't mind it not being so broadcast, because that's how we keep it, you know, humble.
Yeah, yeah.
But even in our differences, I enjoy our, like, what we do on the show. You know, it's like normal life. We just got an audience for it now, and it's to fulfill, you know, it's to do something. I don't want people to think that it was, you know, it was because of the show. Like, the show or not, we still love each other.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. So, we was cool years before that, and we're going to be cool years after that.
And not everything goes according to plan either. So, you know, it was the best time, you know. I you know, it was a cool break. And at the same time, you know, we always, you know, we have a good vision of one thing.
Absolutely. So. And, you know, the new year's coming, so I got a lot of new things coming for the show.
Congratulations, by the way, man.
Thank you, bro.
I love how you...
I appreciate you, man. Thank you.
You speak things and it happens, you know, like, because you put in the work, bro. I've been there.
I try, bro. You know what it is, man? And not to go too much into it, it's just that I got tired of depending on others.
Yep.
So I just had to, you know, really test myself, you know what I'm saying? Because if I want to do stuff, I had to get it done, you know what I'm saying? They got that saying, if you want stuff done right, you got to do it yourself.
And yep.
That's what it was, man. But, you know, we're here now. And like I said, bro, the new year's starting, so I want to do a few new things for the network and the show, especially the show. I'm going to have you up here more as a guest host, you know what I'm saying? So the people, the interweblings, will see you a little more. And I have, you know, I have a new co-host, Claudia, which she's great, man. I think she's great for the show. She's developing. Like, I'm seeing how the whole knowledge thing is, she's real smart, man. And, you know, she's real persistent with educating herself and shit. And, you know, that's why I took a liking to her and how she, you know, gets her message across and what she's trying to do in the community and all that. And, you know, right now she's going through her own little thing too, but it's nothing. She'll be back for the new year. So we got a lot of things going on, man. I think it's going to go in a great direction. You know what I'm saying? And we're just going to keep pushing. You know, we got the network and, bro, that's all we could do, man. Little man over here, you know, he'll be on in the summertime. He'll be, you know, when there's no school, he'll be more of a guest host too, because I want him to experience this and shit. So
yeah, I like talking on the show.
It was a good way to come back, man, because I got, you know.
Yeah.
My buddy.
Yo, it's crazy because, you know, if he didn't jam up that big sausage finger, he'd be going to school tomorrow. He got lucky. It's crazy though, right? Coincidence, yeah. How, like, you know.
Things fall into place, man. Like, yeah, even when they don't go according to plan, they work out for the best. You know, right now I'm going through a personal experience that I'm not going to mention, but it where I thought it was going sour actually worked out for the best. Once again, back on topic about health. You know, it humbled me because I got people who love me, mm-hmm. and I had to learn how to love myself in order to love anybody else to make the effort to take care of myself. Mm-hmm. Like, let's say I had nobody to love me, then I guess I had a reason to be acting the way I used to act or even still act, but
yeah.
Now I kind of have no choice, bro. I'm telling you, I take that little sip of soda or I try to hit a cigarette when I drink a little bit now, I have to mix it.
Yeah, you know.
But I don't mind having a little fun, but then I get a little desire to hit tobacco, and then I do that, I wind up paying for it the next day. So it's like, you know what? It's not for me.
Yeah, now I know that there's been plenty of times where I'm like, yo, let's drink something. Let's, you know what I'm saying? Let's chill, whatever. Get a bottle, relax tonight. And we can't, you know what I'm saying? I mean, we have before, but it's been more control where we can't.
Yeah.
Because of the issue, and I'm all right with that because I know it's for your health, man.
I mean, you do good in keeping me on check, because there's a lot of times you'd be like, remember when I ordered? And yeah. I was like, let me get a Coca-Cola by habit. I didn't even think about it. And you was like, soda, really? And yeah. I went inside and I was like, let me change that to like a juice or something, because I didn't even know why I bought that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But
like you said, man, like,
a healthy reminder, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're one of my peoples, you're one of my boys, you're family. I gotta, you know, if I don't do that shit, man, I'm not gonna feel right. Like, if I was to, like, just sit there and drink with you all the time, and that'd be like me saying, like, whatever, you know what I'm saying, to your situation, and then I'd be a real piece of shit for that, you know what I mean? So
I had a close friend, and I call him a close friend because it was that way, and he would offer me every single time, you want to get something to drink? After, you know, me being in a coma, him going to see me while I was in a coma, and I'm like, yo, your mind, you shouldn't be offering somebody to drink, especially if they keep telling you no, it gets kind of annoying. Mm-hmm. Then I start seeing an insight of you that it's like, you know, you don't care about me. You know, some people don't like sharing their shit. You know, so they would be like, they're not going to offer me. They offer me one time, that's okay. But I appreciate that more than you offering me and you think it's a good gesture. It really isn't. If you're my boy, you're supposed to keep in your mentality, I can't offer him an alcoholic beverage. I could offer the drink that one time, but once you say no, it's no. And we kind of went apart because...
Yeah.
He didn't have discipline, you know what I'm saying?
Nah, yeah, I mean, that's the thing, man. If you got people around you that aren't really conscious, like me, like, you know, I'll ask you, if I'm, yo, I got some beers, you want some, you good? Because I know it depends how you feel, or I know you're not really supposed to, but if you, let's take a sip or something. But once you tell me no, I'm like, all right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, we drink to feel nice, man. You know, we don't drink to be acting up. Or so it's when I say yes, because, you know, mainly my body.
Yeah.
But, you know, also mentality.
But, I definitely, you know, noticed the change where, you know, you're more disciplined with the drinking, with the eating, you know, from not only the liquor, but the soda. Like I said, the food. You know what I'm saying? I noticed you eating a lot differently now. That's big, though, you know, and that's obviously that's helping in your health, you know what I mean? And I'm pretty sure you see different results, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like when I take a sip of soda, my first sip, I feel like I can't breathe. It affects my lungs.
Mm-hmm.
And my doctor is still trying to figure out why that happens, but there's one reason they gave me that wasn't a for sure reason. They used too many technical terms. So when I my next doctor visit, because mandatory, I got to go get checked every 3 months, blood work, all the full, you know.
Okay.
So we're gonna talk more about that to figure out.
So, what's some advice you would give to somebody who has diabetes right now, whether new to them or old to them? You know what I mean? What's the type of advice that you would give them? Basically, to lead a better, healthier life. You know what I'm saying?
My best advice would be how I can give advice to any situation. It has to do with willpower.
Mm.
And people lack willpower. They forget that you're in control. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm not saying you can move mountains and stuff like that. But if you want a drink of water, you're going to grab that drink and take that drink of water. It's almost that easy. I will say, don't ever live in regret. Something that works for me, when I take that sip of soda, because I'm pretty sure people are wondering, he doesn't drink soda no more, why he keeps talking about when he takes his sip, because I get that urge.
Yeah.
So that sip gives me a reminder. It's not for you, papa. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually, you know, sometimes I'd be like, damn, I just want to drink one whole can. Or at least go over here and smoke a cigarette when I'm kind of stressing, because people think, you know, other substances help better. Like, I don't believe in none of that. I believe in you. You know, you can lift yourself up without having to put any intoxications in your body, you know?
Have you ever heard of any, like, natural remedies to kind of treat or get rid of diabetes?
I'm actually happy you asked me that. I'm going to go right into the most weirdest one I've ever heard from, I believe, if it's not... Salvadorian woman, or I believe Ecuadorian woman,
mm-hmm.
either country, but she says in her country it helps, not that it cures, but it helps to boil cockroaches. In her country, they sell, you know, how they would sell, it's healthy cockroaches, like Puerto Rico, they sell lollipops.
No,
like,
it's a cuisine in some countries.
With bugs in it, and it's clean, it's official. So you would boil that water, drink the tea, and it would help you low. Cinnamon is something that helps stabilize it, but you remember you gotta keep a diet.
Yeah, it's not
like I can sit there and drink soda like any, yeah, but then I'm gonna eat some cinnamon and boil some cockroaches and I'm okay. No,
yeah,
it's people who actually discipline their life. I know, you know, we kind of talk about, you know, spirituality. I like to put it. I don't really like to speak on religion, but I've witnessed people who had diabetes and took care of themselves and it went away. And then when I was incarcerated in 2014, I spoke to a CO that he knew a lot about the human body, period. And I told him, I was like, I don't think that, you know, you can really be cured in my position because I don't take care of myself. And he was like, if you start to take care of yourself, you will see, may not go away, but how better you can get. And that was true. But like I said, I may have waited a little bit too late in life. You know, but between them saying I'm not even probably going to see the age of 18 and then everything after, when I was like getting to 19 and we was in Jersey when my parents owned the restaurant,
yeah,
is where I take care of myself more because I was on a schedule. You know, I'm a night owl. So it's like at nighttime, eating late, going to sleep. I wasn't, it was a lot of stuff that I was doing wrong that led up to the conditions of now. And once again, my advice is discipline and willpower. In anything you do.
Absolutely, man. You have something to say, Rick?
Because me and him, we stopped eating pork and stuff, and we stopped eating, like, soda. I mean, stopped drinking soda. You know, I've been drinking water for about, like...
For a while, man.
For, like, 8 months now, and stopped drinking soda. But I always drink juice. Like, juice was my number one thing. But then I switched to water, and, like, it's an addict. I always drink water.
Also, room temperature water. I know you drink room temperature water.
Yeah, because, I only drink room temperature water.
You know, and you don't have any conditions, but it's the healthiest way to drink water for the human body. And
you
not
don't
want to
shock your body with that cold water. Yeah.
And in my condition, I'm not allowed to drink cold water also with, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, naturally, we're supposed to drink, like, room temperature water. Cause cold water, it really shocks your body. I know on a hot summer day, you know, after playing sports or some shit, it feels good. But I mean, you're really not supposed to do that. I guess it kind of shocks your organs, sort of, kind of, they say. But yeah, like Rick said, you know, we really don't do soda at all. Pork, I haven't eaten pork in shit in like 12, 13 years. You know. I'm right now getting rid of, I stopped the steak and I stopped the beef. I'm still fighting with the fish. I actually got rid of the chicken recently. So my New Year's resolution, not even a resolution, my lifestyle I'm going to change is to be a vegetarian all the way. I was already, you know, flirting with the idea, and I've been eating, you know, vegetarian and vegan, but you know, it takes a while. Just like with the whole pork thing, I told myself almost 10 years that I was going to stop eating pork until I finally stopped. And this was back in, shit, like 2007, I think, 2008. No, 2007, 2006, some shit like that. But,
Yeah, I met you guys in 2005, so you can say that, you know, I've never really seen you sick like that either. You know, that's what a lot of people don't understand. It's like, not everything is doctors and medicine. I'm one against medicine. Yeah. Obviously, I need insulin, obviously. But when they ever try to throw a pill at me, like my cholesterol, let's say, I have a little issue with high cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, when I was diagnosed with high cholesterol when I was 18, 19, my doctor wanted to put me on pills. He knows I don't mess. I said, is there any other way? He's like, what do you do for your diet? One of the things I was doing around that time, because I was living in Jersey, like I said, in a schedule, I would go work out a lot with my brother, and I would wake up in the mornings, and people just put the yellow part of the egg raw inside Welch's grape juice, or what Puerto Ricans do is malta.
Yeah.
But they put it, and then they put sugar. I put the whole raw egg, and I don't put sugar. And I used to drink that for, you know, stamina and protein, and that was making my cholesterol skyrocket. That's what made it. So he said you would have to just switch up your diet. When I told him I was doing that, he said stop that totally. And I did, and my cholesterol started getting better.
Yeah.
But then people don't know that your body produces its natural cholesterol. and my cholesterol started going big because of my every condition. I have so many conditions that they all go to the core, which is diabetes. I take care of myself. This is why this is happening. This is why that is happening. And I had to understand that, all right, now I'm taking the medicine for cholesterol, but it's to help. Once I get it down to a thing, I can take it away. And you know, that's knowledge, because a lot of people just be like, okay, I'll take this pill, because they're lazy or they're not educated. I educate myself, bro. Yeah. And I, you know, you have to know your own body. Everybody's different.
And that's what I say, man. I mean, you know, they'll sell us medicine all day, but they won't give us what we need for the cure. You know what I'm saying? To cure ourselves. Because, you know, it's a big business, man. We talk about it all the time on the show. I'm not going to get into that because we know. But, yeah, man. I mean, you know, I'm proud of you, bro, for how you're stepping up and you're changing, you know, yourself. For the better of yourself, man. And, you know, it's noticeable, and it's definitely going to, you're going to see change.
I mean, well, I mean, you give me opportunity. Every single time we come together, you give me opportunity. I'm pretty sure right now I will probably do something and be like, chill out. You know, don't do that. You can't do that because, you know, like I said, it gets sometimes stressful, and sometimes you want to feel still in control and be like, I don't want to still do this. And you get that adolescent type of attitude because, you know, it's you, you know. But other than that, you know, I'm happy. You know, I don't regret what I went through. It's a learning process. And I would just want to take my blessing to the next level, because once again, the doctor said one thing, but I'm still here, about to be 30, and you know, I want to use that to its advantage. I don't want to be like, oh, you know. Yeah. Like,
and yo, that right there is an inspiration right there too, man, because you know, a lot of people take the doctor's word to heart 100%, and you know, you prove that wrong, you know what I mean, and you proved it wrong by changing up your diet and just taking better care of yourself. So that says a lot right there. You know what I mean?
I just want to add that it took a long process too, because when they told me, I was 16, when they brought me to Yale New Haven Hospital, and they tried to tell me I might not even reach the age of 18. They ran all those tests on me, all the needles, all the, like, they did so many things. And what helped me was when I was about to be 18, I said, What made it worse, they told me at the age of 16, you know, I probably reached the age of 18.
Yeah,
so true. I started taking, that's why when you started seeing, because that was like around that age,
yeah,
I said, why do I need to care about myself? If I'm not going to see the age of 18, let me do whatever the fuck I want then.
Yeah.
But then I seen the age of 18, we started having different dreams and hopes. When we bought a restaurant, I was on the schedule, and then I was like, I feel a whole lot better. I said, you know what, I'm about to be 19. I said, even if I don't have long to live, let me live a better life. And I did. I'm conquering it.
You like Prodigy. He wasn't supposed to reach the age of 40, right?
Prodigy had a different sickle cell. Prodigy of Mobb Deep for everybody listening out there. But yeah, he started taking care of himself as much as possible. I mean, you know, he still went through it, but he was controlling it. But yeah, Dave, man, thank you, man. Thank you for coming up here and sharing your story. You know, it's a personal story, and like I said, I'm pretty sure you're inspiring people or giving people ideas or just pushing people to what they need to do, you know what I'm saying, in your situation. And like I said, you know, our people don't really do doctors all the time, man, because of unfortunate reasons, whether, like I said before, insurance, or it's just not a thing, you know what I mean. So this is something big, and I know it's going to reach a lot of people, man. And I know actually people are going to, might even want to reach out to you, man, with questions, man. If you don't mind, if you want to plug in your Instagram or something.
No, I still got my page going, so I check up on it from time to time, because when somebody follows me, I like to still respect, follow them back. Actually like certain pictures, and then comment, and I comment back.
Okay.
You know, I never spoke to you about that because that's, like I said, I don't have too much free time.
Oh, you're talking about your Backyard Mecca page?
Backyard Mecca page.
Okay, that's what's up. Yeah, plug it in, man. So just in case, you know, someone listening might have a few more questions for you that we didn't touch, you know what I'm saying? So just plug that in, man.
Yeah. Like, on topic still, like, the corner store where I grew up on the block I grew up on, he used to tell me about his father never going to a doctor, and he's still alive. Then the minute he went to the doctor, it was like nothing was wrong with him, mm-hmm. just one thing, and then it's they found so many other things, yeah. and he was good. It's like they inject this sickness in you sometimes. Like you'd be like, well, I think I have this. Let me, you know, I trust my doctor. Yeah. I know that, but not every doctor is dedicated. Well,
plug it in though. What I mean is to let them know your joint. Plug it in so people can know where to reach you.
Calamari Dave on Instagram, all the websites.
Okay.
All the
no underscore nothing like that. Just Calamari Dave.
Nah, just I believe it's just Calamari Dave.
Well, yeah, if they search Calamari Dave, it'll come up.
Yeah, it'll come up. I have a little basket of calamari, you know.
And it says I think it says Backyard Mecca on your joint somewhere.
It says Calamari Dave, and then it has all the links.
And all right, yeah, I know yeah. that. So and just in case, you know what I mean.
On my two Facebook, I got a Facebook page just for Calamari Dave. I got my regular Facebook page. That's also I promote the website Backyard Mecca and Self Mathematics.
That's what's up. Appreciate you bro.
On there always. You know, this was the goal. This was the agenda. We got here. You know, yeah. I wanted always to speak about health or spirituality or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever I'm knowledgeable in, you know, so. Yeah.
Nah, man, like I said, thank you, bro. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for coming up here.
I appreciate it. It's an honor.
And, you know, like I said, we're going to see you more often. We're going to get you up here more often for the new year. And we're just going to keep on rocking out, man. With that said, Interweblians, man, I hope you enjoyed the show. I had Calamari Dave today as a guest. We had my son Ricky as the special co-host today. And yeah, man, just check us out. Don't forget Backyard Mecca on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you want to email us, it's backyardmeccashow@gmail.com. Man, we're on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, and more. YouTube every Sunday. We're still having a little issue with the YouTube videos, but I'm not really pushing that right now. We're gonna do that for the new year. For the new year, we'll be back on track with that. I'm gonna update all the lost episodes that we haven't put up yet, but put that in the back of your head because we'll get that going. Also, don't forget the Gorilla Podcast Network. You go on Facebook, just search GPN, it'll pop right up. Gorilla Podcast Network on Instagram. A lot of great shows on there, man. A lot of new stuff coming for the new year. Once again, Interweblians, thank you. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for supporting us. We know we got listeners from all over the world, man. All over the map. Thank you, man. And once again, man, we're out of here. Listen, man, if you could accumulate that thought in your mind, that means it is out there. And if it is out there, all you have to do is go get that shit. Peace.
Tune in next week for another episode of the Backyard Mecca Show podcast.
Interweblians.